we will now convene the February 12, 2013 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of the January 8th meeting and have approved and signed them. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's cases?
Mr. Vigil, we do have one case that is in compliance that's not listed on the agenda.
And which one would that be?
Case number 6, SMG01-1304, 716 Berkshire Road. It's in compliance February 8th. And I believe that's it at this time.
All right. Will all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn? All right. Case 1 on our agenda is already in compliance. Case number 2 on our agenda is already in compliance, which brings us to case 3, Kathy E. Smith. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Yes.
Could you state your name, please?
Yes, Kathy Smith.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. What's the status of our permit?
Good morning, Mr. Kelger. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employed at the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file. This is case number SMG111270, City of Daytona Beach versus Kathy E. Smith. Property address is 510 Arthur Avenue. The violation that we are here to discuss is the obtaining of a permit for the front stairs. The last activity on this case, the permit was under review. It was applied for on 1/13/13, and the last notation was that it needed some corrections, and that's where we are right now. So she still does not have a permit, ultimately, for the steps.
Last time you
That's correct.
What's happened in the last 30 days?
As far as I know, there's been no issuance of permit, so I feel that there's no change.
He charged me $150 for it. Then he turned around to call my daughter as I was in the hospital, charged me $350 for it. So I only have $150 right now to pay him like the first time he asked me for it. But now he wants $350. So I don't have the Mr. Ray McLeod.
And who's that?
He's a contractor. And I don't have the $350 right now to give him.
He said
I need scripts on the steps. The hurricane scripts on the steps and two nails on each bottom of the steps. This is what he told me I need right now. He said everything else looked good. And the guy that did the blueprint for me, Mr. Tony, the handyman, and another man came out there. They did the blueprint for me. He said he didn't put it on there for me to be charged no extra money. He just needed the two scripts on the hurricane scripts and the two nails on the bottom of the steps. And that was it. But then he told my daughter I need $350. And I don't have that right now.
From what you're describing, do you need a contractor for that?
That's what I was told by the city. I needed a contract for it.
Excuse me. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds pretty minor to me. You're going to have to take care of it. That's all there is to it.
Yes, sir.
And so I'm going to give you another month to do it. And you and the city, you're just going to have to figure it out.
Because I asked him, could I go get it myself?
Minor
and told me no.
Say it is. It certainly sounds like it's doable.
Yes.
And, right. So there you go.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'll give you one more month to get it squared away.
All right.
We're going to respond to be in compliance by March 6, 2013, whether you return to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay.
Can I go get this stuff myself? Okay. I can go ask Mr. Lady McLeod.
No, right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number four, Jemmy A. Hanna and Hanna Massey. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, let's say the city.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector from the City of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG121282, City of Daytona Beach versus Hannah Jeremy A. and Hannah Nassif. He is here. The property address is 108 Boysenberry Lane, Parcel ID is 521-70-400-2830. Violations are the exterior surfaces, meaning the stucco. We have a little technical issue over there with the pictures. But the gist of it is the stucco on the building is faulty. And the property owner is in the midst of litigation with the HOA and KB Homes, the builder. These are brand new homes, and the stucco's pretty much falling off this two-story house out in Bayberry. It's not the only property that this is occurring with, and I'll let the property owner go into more detail if you'd like to.
You may remember this is the one that had the
That's correct.
And I think you have asked probably something about dealing with the attorney on it, but your application is not to be pressed.
This one's pretty good.
Yeah, the I guess the gist of it was they couldn't fix it until the insurance company, I guess, looked at it.
Sir, can you state your name, please, and be sworn?
Heidi Nelsie.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Good morning, Your Honor. We've been trying, me and my lawyer, to contact KB Home for a long time, and just yesterday, they sent three people, KB, their lawyer, consultant worked for the lawyer, and somebody from KB itself, and they inspected the house and took a lot of pictures, and they got back with my lawyer afternoon last night, yesterday, and they said again, I'm going to take care of it and do it. But I couldn't do it before. They had to look at it. If I cover the damage, I would have to pay it from my own pocket.
When did they say they're going to take care of it?
Yesterday.
When are they planning on taking care of it?
They're supposed to send them a paper today, like something like what they're going to do today. But they just looked at it yesterday, 8 o'clock in the morning.
And is Jacob Stone your lawyer?
Yes, sir.
All right, so in any event, it's now your understanding that they've done their inspection,
mm-hmm.
which is what you were waiting to see happen.
Correct.
Before you made any improvements or corrections.
Correct.
Now, who's going to be fixing it, you or KB Homes?
If they pay me, I will fix it. If they want to send somebody like to fix it, they can. So they're going to send us today papers, say like what they're going to do. Either paper it or do it themselves.
And Mr. Inspector, just looking at this photograph and the condition of the stucco, how long would you reasonably anticipate it would take to correct that stucco?
The other fence, there's cracks on it, so I might get to the damage in the back side, so they're going to have to do both sides, so you got to get them both.
Okay.
The actual work itself should take at least 30 days. But like I said, I don't know the insurance company's timetable. But the physical labor itself should take 30 days.
Okay.
Hands-on.
Physical.
Yep. Fixing it.
Yep.
trying to give you 60 days, but to be honest, I think I'm only going to give you 30, because I want you to use that against KB Homes to make sure they get the job done. So you can tell them, I've got the city of Daytona Beach breathing down my neck, and if I get fined, you're going to pay for it. So
I just need to answer that. That's why they answer for the same day.
All right, so I'm going to allow you until March 6, 2013, for compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of $1,000 for the year after. Okay?
Okay, can I ask one last question?
Yes. I've been getting letters from the association and the city about the fine. How can I take care of that? The association?
Yep, HOA.
Yeah, HOA and city.
You're getting letters from the homeowners association asking about what fine?
Like, that's what you just...
Their homeowners association also has him in violation with the exterior services. There's nothing that we can do about that. That's going to be a civil issue. But basically, his HOA is citing him for the same thing that we did. That's
well, the response there is that the city has not fined you yet.
Okay.
We will fine you if the work's not done. You're telling us the work's going to be done. We're giving you until March 6th to get it done. So I guess if you want something to report back to your homeowners association, you should tell them, well, the city's been very patient with me because it understands the circumstances are beyond my control, so hopefully you'll do the same. But in any event, we have no say over the homeowners.
I didn't know what to say.
Understand. All right, good luck to you.
Thanks so much.
As soon as the work is done, make sure you call the inspector. If they have another contractor come do it, you still need to contact that inspector. And if by the time the cutoff comes around March 6th, I call them anyway. If it's not done, just let them know what the status of the work is.
Absolutely.
And if by March 6th nothing's been done, then we may be in the unfortunate position of having to fine you, which you in turn are going to be talking to KB Homes about.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 5, Thomas Petora. Anyone here for the respondent?
I don't know if you have one of those in the book.
No? I don't know. Good morning. My name is John Stinson, code officer for the city of Daytona Beach. My qualifications are on file with the city. This is case number SMG121283, City of Daytona Beach versus Katora Thomas. Property address is 1323 Hillcrest Drive. Parcel ID is 523-846-00840. Violations are listed in the attached long form. It's an unsafe structure. It's been designated for either repair or demolish. The Community Development Department with the city has entered an agreement with this property owner to rehabilitate this house, which ultimately means that they're going to demolish it and rebuild him a new house. I've handed you an email from the Community Development Manager stating as to the status of this particular property. So the city is asking to amend this to for 6 months for a progress report, which would make it the August cutoff.
Okay, the community development what is doing what now? Knocking this house down?
That's correct.
That's cool. How do you qualify for that?
I don't know. I wish I didn't know.
That's a rehabilitation program. I used to count that program.
What are they rehabilitating?
Community home ownership. If you have a home and you have a qualification, it's economic as well as conditions of the home. And after they evaluate, when they determine whether they, to what extent they rehabilitate or whether to rebuild. Because the fund grant funds that can apply to the state federal government program.
Mm-hmm.
We will amend our current order of non-compliance. Allow the respondent or the respondent's representative or the community development whatever to demolish and start reconstruction of a new home. And with that understanding, based on that understanding, I guess we will continue this matter to the August 13, 2013 meeting for a progress report. And at that point in time, am I saying this correctly?
I guess I'll just discuss it with the department. It seems that demolition will, unless there's some other thought from the inspector, and I can't see the specification, but it seems that demolition itself will bring us to compliance. I don't know if we need to wait until for reconstruction for compliance.
What you want?
That's correct. Demolition would bring the property into compliance. That's correct. You are correct. When the property actually is gone and down, I could actually close this case and put it in compliance. You are correct.
That might sound reasonable and anticipated.
Absolutely. Yes. So, we are talking about changing it from 6 months to 3 months.
3 months for what to happen?
For the violations to be corrected, meaning that when the structure is actually demolished, it will be in compliance.
Okay. Nobody's occupying the structure.
No, sir.
So the city is now asking for 3 months to come into compliance. Compliance being demolished the structure.
Correct. Right. And that would be the makeup of. The makeup of.
All right. Then I'll order the responder. Agent, if you will, in compliance by May 8, 2013, will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Thank you.
And it being understood in this instance, the demolition will constitute compliance.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Okay. Case number 6 is in compliance. Case number 7, Johnny Moore. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
One of Mr. Volkowski. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement, case number SMG021308, City of Daytona Beach versus Johnny Moore. Property address is 331 Bartley Road. Parcel ID number is 3815322500250. Mr. Volkowski, I spoke to the property owner. A lot of trash, junk, and debris as of this morning hasn't been picked up. He did remove some debris that was towards the rear of the property on the chimney, but he hasn't cleaned up the debris that's in front of the property. City of Daytona Beach is requesting that compliance be met by next cutoff.
Okay. Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be non-compliant. In order to respond to next compliance by March 6, 2013, will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 8, Rafika Muhammad Itani. Sir, if you would please state your name and be sworn.
My name is Robert Itani. I'm speaking for my mother, Rafika Muhammad.
Okay.
Can you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Okay.
All right, if I'm responding to noncompliance, Mr. Inspector, what's it going to take to come into compliance?
He needs to pull a permit to fix the roof. The door and the window has been in compliance. He has repaired them. It's just the roof currently now that needs to be repaired. A permit needs to be obtained and repaired within the next cutoff.
And you think that's doable within the next cutoff?
I believe so.
Yes. What's in Mr. Tom?
Yes, sir.
All right, then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by March 6, 2013, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Case number 9, Joyce Dixon Revocable Trust. Is there anyone here for the respondent? All right, let's say the city.
Mr. Vakaja, I spoke with her this morning. She has made some improvements on the property. There's still some minor issues that need to be made towards the step area. If we can have her 30 days, the next cutoff, to come into compliance.
Based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. In order to respond to commit compliance by March 6, 2013, we'll be returning to special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Macari Organization LLC and Loan by Sale Incorporated, DBA LBS Tax Services. Does anyone have the behalf of the respondent? If not, we'll say the city.
Mr. Vakaja, I cited the property owner as well as the tenant for the excessive amount of signs that's been scattered throughout the city. Currently, he's been putting them through the inner neighborhoods. This morning, as of 8 a.m. this morning, I picked up 3 signs on Nova. Total, keeping track, is 683 signs that we have picked up as of today. Also, he needs a permit for the business establishment, which is located on Orange Avenue, on 986 Orange Avenue. He has some signage that's not permitted on the windows and exterior damage to the frontage of the property, the stucco. That needs to be repaired and a permit needs to be obtained. City is requesting an immediate fine be imposed, $100 for each violation, and administrative fee also be imposed for $985, total administrative fee. City is also requesting that the permit be obtained for the signage on the window within the next cutoff and repair of the frontage stucco that's damaged within the next cutoff.
That was a mouthful. Let's back up and go through that. First off, based on our inspector's report, I find the respondent being non-compliance. All right, let's go through the penalties you were talking about and tell me what they are and how we do them.
These are interior on the neighborhood sign is posted on the right of way throughout the city. As you can see, here's Madison and Kingston here. We've had about 4 or 5 inspectors picking up signs throughout the city. We had one officer pick them up even on Saturdays, these signs throughout.
Is this a violation that allows me to find them immediately?
Yes, these are all violations, signage put on the right-of-way, on the city right-of-way. The tenant has been informed not to do, not to put the signs out. It's litter. We have spoken with him at length, and he continues to put them on the right-of-way.
The case law has recognized these types of violations to be irreparable harm. Specifically, I do have a case that I can... provide for you. And by following that, looking in 16209, it tells us that a couple of things. We can cite him immediately. We can request reimbursement for the cost of repair. My position is we're repairing every time we're removing and we're correcting the violation. So for the cost of correction, we can also seek that cost. And ultimately, if the code enforcement finds that the violation be irreparable and irreversible in nature, it may impose a fine not to exceed $5,000 per violation. So that's under the standard, and I believe we bumped that up as well. I have to look.
Okay, if the code enforcement board finds 15, the violation 15. To be irreparable and what?
Irreparable or irreversible in nature.
Okay, well, I find it to be irreparable and irreversible.
It may impose a fine not to exceed, and under this section it says $5,000 per violation. However, $5,000 per violation is what the section says. However, in our enhanced penalties that we've adopted some time ago, where we went from the 2,000 per first and 5,000 per second, and 250 per first, 500 per second, and 5,000 for an irreparable violation. We now have, as part of our code, that the maximum fine for an irreparable or irreversible, as well as for repeat violation, is $15,000 as opposed to the $5,000. Is that correct? Am I reading that right? Okay, we put something. Okay. All right, I was just making sure we didn't put something different in our notice to them, but yes, that our code provides that we can fine them up to $15,000 per violation.
All right, now I've already found it irreparable and irreversible. I understand the exigent circumstances. People can't just go spreading whatever they want in the rights of ways and just leave them there and then expect the traditional code enforcement process to do anything about it. I'm satisfied with all that. So what's the fine now between the thought?
And if I can have a moment to just discuss that. I know that we, through reading other language, have been able to determine on repeat violations that you clearly are able to find per occurrence, and we announce that and give notice of that. As I go through the statute, I don't necessarily see the per occurrence. I see per violation. So I have a little more comfort in a per violation fine being a large fixed fine as opposed to a per item fine, although I guess since it's per violation, it may be well justified to be a per item fine, and I'll leave that to your comfort. But all in all, the number of signs collected at this point is how many? Okay, so up to, as of the date, we've collected 683 signs, and $6,300 per sign. And we believe a reasonable fine would be $6,300 at this point as an initial one if it continues.
How many signs did you collect?
I'm sorry, 680?
683.
So 6,800 signs. I mean, 683 signs.
So you look for 6,800.
Which is only
$10
a sign.
That's $10 a sign.
As opposed to $100 a sign because that was single digit. So I think $10 a sign is reasonable.
Do you think so? Reasonable.
You think that's generous?
Okay. I started this process because you hit me with a curve with that administrative fee. What was that?
The administrative fee, that cost was determined how and what amount
is that? Is that something you're seeking in addition to the fine?
Yes, Mr. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, that was $985 for the administrative fee. And that was basically in-office work, picking up the signs, processing the signs.
So basically man hours for
yes,
correcting the violation.
This was a total of 19.7 man hours.
Okay. We believe we'll be left still with an issue of we'll find for the continued or anticipated future violations. As fast as we're cleaning, picking them up, they are putting them out. Our notices have gone to everyone that we know to notice. The registered agent is signed for the everyone signed. I thought that's what I saw in the file. The registered agent has already signed, the business owner, the property owner, and
Hey, what's the I assume there's a basis in the ordinance for the administrative fee.
Yes. That's also pursuant to the statutes. 16209 says that in addition, if the violation is a violation described in 16206 sub 4, and that violation will be includes the definition of irreparable violations, the enforcement board shall notify the local body, which may make a reasonable all reasonable repairs. I'm sorry. The enforcement board shall notify the local governing body, which may make all reasonable repairs which are required to bring the property into compliance and charge the violator with the reasonable cost of repairs, along with the fine imposed pursuant to this section. And when they make the reference to 16206 subsection 4, that section says if the code enforcement inspector is reasonably believe a violation of the condition causing the violation presents a serious threat to the public health, safety, and welfare, or if the violation is irreparable or irreversible in nature, the code inspector shall make a reasonable effort to notify the violator, may immediately notify the enforcement board, and request a hearing. And so that reference references us back if it's such a violation that we are able to seek those costs.
All right. Well, I've already found the respondent to be in violation. I've already found that dumping these signs in the city right-of-ways is irreparable and irreversible harm. Based on the authorities provided to me by counsel, I am fining the respondent a sum of $6,830. In addition to that, I find the $985 administrative fee to be reasonable, and I'm also imposing that $985 administrative fee. I'm ordering a will fine in place as of right now, and that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of up to the applicable maximum fine allowable given the nature of the violation that we're talking about.
It'd be $5,000. Yes.
Pardon?
It is $5,000. Now I'm reading better here.
Okay, up to $5,000. And then how much time to come into compliance on miscellaneous things having to do with the building that have to be done?
If you allow me to recover your next call.
And as far as all the remaining items, the respondent will be given until March 6, 2013 to come into compliance, will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Did I cover everything?
Yes. Yes, Ms. Fukalcha, just for the sake of the magistrate, as soon as we have this order, the inspector indicates he will hand deliver it. He's had regular contact with the violator, and they just seem to, at this point, be ignoring.
Very good. Okay. Good luck to you. Okay, the next case I have is case number 11, Deep Lounge, Inc., and another Plan B Incorporated, DBA 509 Lounge. Let me go ahead and announce I was contacted by the attorney for the respondent, Dave Hood. Dave Hood is a state legislator. I just recently found out from another legislator that when they're in session and they're lawyers, they get automatic passes on everything they have scheduled while they're in session. So with that, I told Mr. Hood I doubted that there would be too much of a resistance to the continuance he requested, but that having been said, did he want to argue against it?
No, not at all. Only one point, Mr. Vakeljan. You probably looked at the statute and may have done a little research as well. I did a little research, and I saw that the only issue where the statute, in fact, what the court had found was that the statute would be unconstitutionally supplied when it's addressing an issue that's deemed to be an emergency or irreversible, irreparable type of circumstance. We are not declaring or saying that that's the circumstance as of right now. So as of right now, we accept the statute just as it applies and his request just as it applies. Our concern is if they continue operating total lack of concern of the ordinance, at some point we believe that will arise. We'll make those arguments when necessary.
I wasn't planning on continuing this indefinitely.
Well, he asked till June, so we just wanted to...
I wasn't planning on continuing it until June.
Okay.
I mean, I...
My best reading, Mr. Bukelja, is my best reading, and I think his suggestion in the letter was that it would be throughout the legislative session, which he said ends June 1. And I believe that that request is consistent with what the statute provides.
Okay, well, the reason I know something about this is because I have a state senator from Orlando who lost a lawsuit I brought against his client. It's on appeal. We were supposed to have an oral argument. And then I come to find out my oral argument is scheduled in January, and he's in, no, in December. And he's either in committee or legislative session. The only reason I mention this was he asked for an extension until it was all over, and the extension he got was until May 21st.
Okay.
So I guess that's probably the same thing that you're saying. That's close enough, I guess. So I guess that sounds pretty close.
Mr. Bukelja, if you, in fact, I think maybe alternatively, if you were to just continue it to the next meeting, if that was your initial thought, or 30 days, whatever that thought was, there was some anticipation that they were working towards compliance and maybe this thing would be resolved, or at least we would know if there's a reason why we believe that we would be challenging continual. I guess what I'm saying, it would create at least an opportunity to have a review of the issue until it's resolved. Just sitting it in abeyance for 3 months just doesn't seem to be a fair ultimate resolution when we know we have an outstanding violation and someone who... We're not there yet, or at least I don't think we're prepared to argue that position today. That's my thought, that we should at least bring it back for progress.
I can understand not taking action if no one's unavailable. I don't have a problem.
Okay, that may be. I think that's a fair solution. Maybe to go ahead and continue it for the conclusion of the session, however, bring it back for a progress report, and we can at least determine whether or not the status is still a reasonable status or one that we want to challenge.
All right, then I'll continue this case to our March 12, 2013 meeting. And I want to be clear so that we don't invoke a lawsuit against the City of Daytona Beach for having violated their attorney's statutory rights, that the matter is only being returned for a progress report. Because the indication to me is that the respondent is already in the process of making upcoming compliance.
That's an understanding.
The purpose of our progress report is to monitor that in the hopes that maybe the matter will be moot before any hearing is necessary. So let's make sure I'm going to say that. Okay.
I just didn't know if we could take any action at the next meeting, if we just have a progress report.
It would be in the same posture it's in now.
Determination
of compliance or non-compliance.
Okay.
It's a continuance, so
okay.
Yeah, we will be continuing the same question.
Case number 12, Abraham Camelay and 265 LLC, DBA Bishop's Avenue. Anyone here for the respondent? Probably not, because I have a motion to continue hearing.
Mr. Bukelja, I spoke with Mr. Hartley, and I spoke with staff, primarily Ms. Miles, who was at least looking, overseeing the needs for compliance from a zoning perspective. And the position of staff is that there is no objection to a continuance at this time.
All right, then I'll continue this matter to our March 12, 2013 meeting. Very good. I think that covers the agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
I guess we could make it business on record.
Report.
Somewhat of a little bit of a volatile commission meeting. Kind of asked for us to do a few things a little different. So probably starting next month, I'll be presenting the cases probably in a way more similar to at least those that may be contested, more similar to what would happen if we were in a pretrial. So I'd call my person forward and then let them testify so that I'm a full participant in every action that comes before the magistrate.
What prompted that?
Just whatever happened at that meeting.
All right, well, I think y'all do a fine job, but...
From a procedural, if there's some procedural stuff, we'll kind of at least give you a little... Maybe we can just talk briefly so you can anticipate what we're doing in a procedural way. But for the most part, we'll be doing what we're doing, but I'll be more active in that presentation.
Very good. All right. Anything else? We're adjourned.